Can you hear me? Yeah? All right, so now we're going to go ahead and do a roll call for attendance. So Ellen, please.
Commissioner Barcelos.
Here.
Commissioner Gutierrez. Commissioner Hudson.
Here.
Commissioner Perez.
Here.
Chairman Custodio.
Here. Our next portion of this agenda is the public comment portion. This provides an opportunity for the members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the commission's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak upon that? No? All right, so let's go ahead and move on. Next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. Item number one, which would be to approve the minutes of the regular meeting, January 21st, 2016. Is there any comments, concerns, questions, commissioners? Did you guys have a chance to look at them? And is there anything that we want to discuss right now? No?
Make a motion, we approve.
All right, we got a motion to approve. Could I get a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Chairman Custodio?
Yes. And now we're to agenda item number two, the public hearing. So I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to Mr. Fabino.
President Custodio, members of the Planning Commission, Kevin Fabino, Community Development Director. Right on. So very pleased to be here tonight to have this presentation with respect to the multi-jurisdictional housing element. A couple things I'd like to bring to your attention. I mean, I think this is pretty outstanding for several perspectives. One, for us internally, you may recall that back in November of 2012, the City Council approved the fourth cycle. And as the Planning Commission knows, we talk about housing elements in cycles. So the last cycle was 2008 to 2015, which was fourth. The new cycle going forward is 15 to 23. That's the fifth cycle. So you'll know those time frames. The fourth cycle, which was 2008 to 2015, which I just mentioned to you, was actually approved by the council in November of 2012. So when I came aboard, one of the first duties I was charged with was get the darn four cycle done. It was actually approved by HCD on February 4th of 2014, originally submitted in November of 12. We worked with HCD, we did all the things we needed to do, finally got it approved in 2014. I preface that because once it was approved, we had basically three goals moving forward. One was with respect to what was called carryover. And as you may recall, we've tried to educate you on this fact, which was basically that in the second, third cycles, the city made commitments to rezone and make sure that there was adequate inventory for the stock that was needed to meet the RENA numbers. And those numbers carried forward. So that was one of the things that occurred in the four cycle. The second, it was woefully overdue in terms of time. And third, it was tremendously expensive. The city had hired a consultant, had paid a little bit more than $100,000 to get an incomplete document, and then staff finished it up. So with that in mind, in that background, I'm very pleased to stand here and tell you that we've accomplished all three goals. And we've been able to do that in a couple of ways. One is through the multi-jurisdictional housing element. So as indicated in your staff report, as you can see on the screen, there's actually 13 members or participating jurisdictions, one of which includes the County of Fresno, as well as you can see Clovis, Kalinga, and all the names that are across the screen in front of you. So that really gave us a huge step forward. One, collectively, we have a housing element that now addresses all commonality across the county, as opposed to kind of 13 individual, you know, some would have addressed constraints in one way, some would address constraints in another. Now we've kind of made that uniform. The other component is it was done in a manner that was clearly advantageous to the city from a budgetary standpoint. It cost us $25,000, and we're really excited to be here because it was done in a way that, quite frankly, I couldn't have done. And the third component is really the carryover has gone away. The carryover has gone away, quite frankly, because we had, you know, this multi-jurisdictional housing group really hired a top shelf consultant to do the work on our behalf. I'm going to turn it over to Chelsea Payne from Interior Harnish, who will give you the rest of the presentation, but I cannot speak enough volume to the superior and superlative job that they have done helping not only the city of Reedley, get rid of our carryover, which was a huge undertaking, and really she's done a phenomenal job for us as a city, but I also sit on that committee, and she's done a great job for the members who sit on that committee. So I'm very pleased to introduce Chelsea Payne. I'm also pleased to let you know that we accomplished our goals and we have a great housing element. And so with that, I'll turn it over to Chelsea.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin. That was a really nice introduction. This has been a really great effort. As Kevin said, this is really a first for a multi-jurisdictional housing element of this type with so many participating jurisdictions. It's been tested in other parts of the state. You know, Kings County did it. But they're dealing with four different jurisdictions. So here we had 13 participating jurisdictions, and everyone now has a similar streamlined approach to addressing the housing element and meeting the housing needs here. So I think this is a really good model here for how cities can collaborate to get this housing element done more cost effectively, have a more streamlined product, and then just have the committee that was formed to deal with the housing element is planning to continue to collaborate through the implementation. So it really is a great effort. I'll give you a little bit of background on the housing element. I know this isn't the first time that you've seen this housing element, and you've talked a lot about housing elements, I'm sure, as you've dealt with the rezone programs and meeting your housing needs. But just a quick background, the housing element is your plan to meet both your existing and your future projected housing needs. And it's part of your general plan. It's one of the 7 state-mandated elements of the general plan. But it has some unique requirements that set it apart from the other 6 elements. It's the only element for which state law establishes the planning period and the adoption deadline. It also serves a shorter planning period. It's an 8-year planning period. It actually used to be a 5-year planning period, but now going forward, you're going to have a break for some time because you have a longer 8-year planning period. The official adoption due date was December 31st, 2015, but you have a 120-day grace period in which to adopt after that deadline. If you don't adopt within that grace period, then you're looking at a penalty of having to update the housing element every 4 years instead of every 8 years. So we're still at the beginning of that grace period, and we don't see any jurisdictions having to suffer that penalty. The housing element's also the only element of the general plan that's reviewed by the state for compliance with state law. And the Department of Housing and Community Development, or HCD, is the department that's responsible for that review. So as we've said, this is not just the housing element for the city of Reedley, but this is a regional housing element for the 13 participating jurisdictions. And the whole project has been coordinated by the Fresno Council of Governments, who is they're coordinating the contract and have been helping to set up the coordination meetings. And they've hired us as a consulting team. I represent Mintier Harnish. We also have Veronica Tam and Associates from Pasadena, who was working with us on this effort, and we sort of split up the jurisdictions and each took half because preparing housing element for 13 jurisdictions is quite an undertaking. And then we have a firm, MIG, who handled the environmental on the document. So the housing element is organized with five chapters that make up the main body of the housing element. The first four of those chapters are all, they all provide background information at a regional level. So they describe the demographics and housing needs across the region, the resources available for housing, and the constraints. Chapter five is one set of regional housing goals and policies that every jurisdiction that's participating is going to adopt. And then appendix two, each jurisdiction has its own separate appendix. So Reedley's appendix is appendix 2J, and that appendix contains the individual details for each jurisdiction related to your sites inventory, the specific potential governmental constraints that were required to review, the evaluation of your prior housing element, and then each jurisdiction has its own set of implementation programs. Although there is a lot of overlap, a lot of the jurisdictions are adopting very similar implementation programs as well. An important part of the housing element is your future housing needs. And your future housing needs are calculated through a process called the Regional Housing Needs Assessment. This Regional Housing Needs Assessment starts at the state level with the State Department of Housing and Community Development coming up with a regional housing target for each region of the state. So here in Fresno County, the regional target, so countywide target, is over 41,000 housing units. So that's the number of housing units that as a region, all of the jurisdictions have to plan to accommodate between 2013, which was the start of the projection period, and 2023. And then within each region, the Council of Governments is tasked with coming up with a methodology for distributing that region-wide need to all of the jurisdictions within the region. So the Fresno Council of Governments, based on their adopted methodology, distributed those housing units, and you can see how all of the numbers break down here. And the City of Reedley's portion of that 41,000 regional housing need is 1,311 housing units. So that's the number of units that the city is expected to plan to accommodate over the 10-year projection period. And that 1,311 units is broken down into different income categories, because the housing element is about planning for all economic segments of the community. So you can see here how the targets break down between extremely low income households, very low, all the way to above moderate income households. We've also, just for context, provided the maximum income limit for each of those categories, and then what the maximum affordable monthly rent is for each of those categories as well. So to show that you can accommodate your RENA, we do a very detailed inventory of all of the vacant and underutilized parcels within the city, and the different types of housing that can be accommodated on those parcels, from low-density residential up to high-density multifamily residential. And the bottom line is that you have more than enough capacity. You actually have quite a large surplus capacity in all your income categories. So your RENA, your targets are shown at the very top. We grouped together the capacity assessment for all of those lower income categories. So you see ELI means extremely low income, VLI is very low income, LI is low income. We grouped those together for the purpose of the sites inventory. But looking at all of the capacity you have on your high density residential sites, as well as your commercial sites where you allow residential development, you have a large surplus capacity. And that's due in large part to the citywide rezone program that you just completed just last year. That created quite a bit of new capacity. And that rezone program was in large part to meet some of the unaccommodated need that you had from your previous housing element cycles. So while Kevin gave me credit for meeting your unaccommodated need, it really was the efforts of the city in doing that rezone program. I should note, when we talk about the city meeting the RENA, it's really important to remember that there's no requirement that the city build housing. The city's not in the business of building housing. Saying that you can meet your RENA means that you have the zoning in place that the housing can be built by developers, by either for-profit developers or nonprofit affordable housing developers. But the city's job is to make sure that the land is available and zoned to accommodate a range of housing types. So Kevin mentioned that you, in the past, have had a carryover from your previous housing element cycles, and in the last housing element you had to meet the third cycle, and now in this fifth cycle you had to meet a fourth cycle. And we were able to show that through all of the affordable housing projects that you've recently approved, that are either have been built in recent years, are currently under construction, or are approved and are going to be built soon, we were able to show that you can actually meet that fourth cycle unaccommodated need through these recent affordable projects. So that's how we were able to get rid of any carryover, and from this point moving forward, you're not going to have to accommodate any carryover. You've met your fourth cycle arena, you've met your fifth cycle arena, and now you have a clean slate moving forward, and you can just focus on implementing the housing element. So since you last reviewed this housing element, what we've been working on is the compliance review with the state. So in August of last year, we submitted the draft housing element to the State Department of Housing and Community Development. And then the state has 60 days to review and provide comments on the element. And they wrote a comment letter issued on October 9th. Because it included all of the jurisdictions, it was quite a lengthy letter. And we've worked through the months of October, November, December, and into January responding to those comments, having back and forth with the state. And on January 28th, the state issued the conditional approval letter for the City of Reedley's housing element, saying with the revisions that we've made, that if you adopt it as revised, that the state will find it in compliance with state law and that they will certify it. So the draft housing element that you have in front of you, and I think I'm frozen a little bit here. The draft housing element that you have in front of you, it shows in track changes all of the revisions that we made. We wanted to be very clear on how this document has changed since you last reviewed it, so you could really focus in on these changes. And I won't go into detail on all of them, but in some cases, the state just wanted some additional analysis on water and sewer capacity, for example. And we provided quite a bit of additional analysis on your site's inventory. And we sort of retooled our approach a few times over just to show how you could meet that fourth cycle unaccommodated need. So a lot of the revisions you see are related to proving that you did meet that fourth cycle unaccommodated need. We added quite a few new programs in response to comments by the state, and those, the first program is related to regional collaboration. So the Housing Element Committee that's been working together on this effort has decided that they will continue to collaborate through the implementation of this housing element. So that first program talks about the different topics, the different issues that the committee will continue to collaborate on. We added a new program, and this wasn't in response to a comment by the state, but some comments by committee members and comments we were hearing through the public process that the cities and the county would work together to review the annexation standards that go into play when the cities are looking to annex land. So that's another sort of regional collaboration program. There's a program related to water and sewer service, farm worker housing, second units, which are granny units. There's a program to just encourage those as another form of affordable housing. A program to encourage and facilitate lot consolidation or lot splits, because a lot of the parcels are either really small and would need to be assembled in order to build a project, or they're really large and might need to be split in order for a feasible project to move forward. And then a program to monitor your development impact fees. We made some minor and some more major revisions to the programs that were already in there related to your adequate sites and monitoring your residential capacity. A lot of these were really, when we retooled the sites inventory, it just resulted in some changes to the programs. The zoning code amendments Program 10, we updated that because in the interim, you actually adopted quite a few of those code amendments that you needed to do. So we already took those off the list, and you've actually already started implementing your housing element before you even adopted it. And then just some small changes to the energy conservation program about how you would distribute information. And for the fair housing program, again, it's mostly on how you would get information out there to the community on their fair housing rights. So I'm happy to, if you have any questions about the details of those revisions, I'm happy to answer them, but I just didn't want to get too far into the weeds on all of them. So this is where we are in the process. As I said, you reviewed an earlier draft of this document last June, on June 15th. We then submitted it to the state. And towards the end of that process of working with the state, we also conducted environmental review and prepared a CEQA document. And that 30-day review period is up in just a couple of days. So we're approaching the end. We have received some comments, nothing too substantive. We'll be preparing some, we're not required to prepare written responses, but we are going to prepare some written responses before the council meeting, but nothing substantive on the environmental document. And then after tonight, we are hoping to go to the city council on March 8th for the formal adoption. Following that, we'll submit the document to the state for their official certification. So with that, this is the proposed action before you tonight, requesting that the commission recommend certification of the negative declaration and approval of the housing element update. So I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
You guys have any questions?
You said there were some common things in all of the jurisdictions, and yet there's some uniquenesses. Can you just kind of elaborate on that just a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, I would say about 95% of the implementation actions are common across the jurisdictions, but there are just some nuances to reflect programs that some of the cities already have, like the housing rehabilitation programs. Each city does it a little bit differently. Some cities get funding directly from the federal government to do that, while other cities participate in a regional effort. So it was really to reflect that all the cities operate a little bit differently already. For the energy conservation program, there are specific programs that are available here in Reedley that you're participating in that some of the other cities aren't participating in, so we wanted to reflect those differences. If there were cities that had issues with their water service, there might be actions to pursue funding to address those deficiencies. So it was really just some small differences like that.
But as far as timelines and penalties, were independent from the rest of the jurisdictions?
That's correct. While this is a multi-jurisdictional effort, ultimately every city is adopting its own housing element, and then you all have different requirements to satisfy. Some cities will continue to have a carryover that they have to rezone for, and they'll have to address that, but the other participating jurisdictions aren't going to be wrapped up in any of those issues. So you're all adopting separate documents.
Thank you. So Chelsea, just so we can get this overview, the state has reviewed this document here, and they have basically given the blessing that they will certify it as soon as, if it gets approved and then it goes forward to the city council and then they approve it. Then we can take it back, or you would send it back and it would get certified. Is that I don't want to say a done deal, but is it a good indication that it will get done?
Yes. So the conditional approval letter that you have is the state's promise to you that they find that the revisions are acceptable, that they comply with state law, and it's really just procedural at this point. Assuming that you adopt the housing element as is, that they will certify it. If you do decide to make any changes, then we would have to go back and negotiate those changes with the state. So this is sort of them signing off on the housing element as is.
Okay, thank you. Commissioners, any other questions, concerns? Thank you, Chelsea. Okay.
Thank you very much.
So then we come to the portion that if anyone in the public has any comments, this is the time. I don't see anyone out there besides, you know, the paper here, and I don't know if they want to make any comments. And Chelsea already gave her presentation, so I'm going to go ahead and move forward. Commissioners, in front of you, and with all this information that was given to you guys, we have in front of us a resolution number 2016-03, and I'm going to go ahead and read this, and I'm going to ask to make a motion on this after I'm done reading this, so we can approve. So this resolution, as stated, is as 2016-03, is a resolution of the City of Reedley Planning Commission recommending to the City Council to approve the General Plan Amendment Number 2015-1 and the negative declaration dated January 6, 2016, related to the City of Reedley 2015 through 2023 housing element update, which would be the fifth cycle. Do I have a motion to approve?
I would so move.
Okay, we have. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Don. So we have a second. Ellen, could we get a roll call, please?
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Chairman Custodio?
Yes. All right, so now that we've gone through that, we're in our Community Developers Director's Report, so agenda item 3 and 4. So back to you, Kevin.
So just very quickly, thank you very much for your consideration of the last agenda item. Chelsea will be here in 2023 again. I will not be here in 2023. Ellen will be here, and maybe some of you might be here. But
he's got a date.
Wow.
You know,
he just said some, yeah.
Who knows?
I'm not going to be here.
But I just want to reiterate again our appreciation for your consideration of the matter and also what Chelsea's done.
Yes, thank you.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So that being said, and Ellen as well. She had a huge, and you know that already. So with respect to planning projects, again, a lot of construction coming out of the ground. We're sorry to see the rain end, sorta, but we're also really happy because it is allowing the projects to move forward. You've seen Les Schwab's really moving very quickly. You know that now that the rains have subsided a little bit, the dialysis over on Manning's moving quickly. You know, we're hearing the banging of nails for the administration building. So we're all really pleased again seeing that coming forward. Again, we've talked about those projects almost ad nauseum, but they are moving along. We are in an interesting period in that we thought we were going to be bringing you Blossom Trail. We talked to you about that. That's at Zumwalt and Manning. That was a project being redesigned. Just prior to the noticing period, or actually when staff would be issuing the notice for the public hearing, and we received a call, there's a land transaction discussions going on, and so that project's been put on hold. But I can report to you that we have been engaging with three different development groups for three very significant projects. It's very early in the stages, so we'll keep you, stay tuned, and we'll keep you abreast of the development, no pun intended, as they kind of figure out how they're wanting to proceed. So our role right now is just kind of sitting down, saying, you know, here's a pathway you could travel, We give them preliminary design. We've showed you those documents, which are basically documents that are assembled so that a developer could take it to an engineer and do things like, you know, we tell them, you know, the water, sewer, storm drain availability and proximity to the project, so they can start looking at, you know, construction costs, infrastructure costs to facilitate their project. We give them fencing, parking requirements, and we try to lay it out with as much information for them so that they'll know what they're getting themselves into, kind of as they're ready to proceed. We give them pricing of all the entitlements, time frames, things like that. So we're pretty excited about those projects. They will be moving slowly, but they are moving through the pike. Ellen has several projects on her desk, more so than she's can probably handle, to be honest with you, but two big ones that are I know she's working on. There's one, an expansion project for Heritage. There's another one, which will be a new storage unit, which will be on Hemlock and Dinuba. That annexation, remember we mm-hmm. talked about that, is all completed. We've sent the infamous welcome to the city of Reedley emails. Grounds has been great to work with. We've really appreciated them a whole bunch in moving that particular project forward. With respect to engineering projects, Early Avenue is underway. The contracts have been awarded. You'll probably, again, because of rain, within the next week or two, see a lot of construction going on Early Avenue. That is a widening as well as a reconstruction project. Reed Avenue, we continue to operate under the emergency ordinance provisions. That is, you know, all the infrastructure has been done. We're just waiting for the weather to cooperate. And they just got some bids in, I think, last week for paving. So as soon as the weather cooperates, we'll get out there, we'll pave it, and then that project will be done. And then there'll be just some cleanup work for staff with council and that resolution. The Huntsman Avenue Trail project, again, is on hold, you know, again, with the weather. That should probably 30 to 45 days out, they'll go back and start the trail improvement projects. And we've really been busy submitting a number of grants related to analysis of Manning Avenue. That was one grant that was recently submitted. As you know, we need to really kind of redo Manning Avenue from basically Button Willow to kind of like I, or Reed at least. But, you know, there's all different kind of segments. Some are good, some are really, really bad. And so we applied for a grant that will analyze all of those segments, so we will then be able to prioritize where we're going and how best to refurbish that segment of the street. Other things that are coming up, there's been some preliminary discussion about controlling the intersection at I and 8th. It's a little bit down the road, but it's something that you should be aware of and will most likely come to you, or you'll hear about it. The city did submit, I hope I told you about this. We worked with Self-Help Enterprise. We submitted a grant for rehabilitation of Luke Trimble. That grant was monies that were being awarded to communities that had approved affordable housing projects on it. So because we had numerous projects, some of which were identified during Chelsea's presentation, Trailside Terrace, which you know is down the street, that's under construction. Reedley Family, Kings River Commons.
Yep.
Got that one right. Too many Kings River things, all in that, like right across the street. Anyway, so because those are affordable housing projects, that made us eligible for these grant funds to rehabilitate or to construct park facilities. So Luke Trimble was the selected site.
There's no dollar figure on that right now, is there?
Yeah, we're estimating that it'll be about 800 and I think the grant, I think we estimated the grant would be right around $850,000,
$875,000. Would that cover the destruction of that?
Yeah, it would. So what we actually did was part of the application to the state was we prepared an engineer's estimate that include the demolishing. What the scope of that work is, it would demolish the pools, all the pool structure, all, and then the old bathhouse. I call it the bathhouse. And place would be new public restrooms, a shelter for equipment, a splash pad with several features in it. It would include the abandonment of J Street, because J Street kind of bisects that little corner, and then curb gutter and sidewalk, and as well as improvements to the alleyway. So we really got it on all three sides, because it's a triangular piece. Again, curb gutter and sidewalk, increased parking, and then the alleyway got improvements as well. So we're pretty excited about that. Once we get through that, there is still another project in Reedley that we think is eligible. So for round two, we've kind of already set forth some ideas about how, when round two funds come available, what we would be applying for. So we're pretty excited about that as well. What did I forget?
Nothing, I don't think.
I think that just about covers it.
Okay.
Do you have any questions? Rumors?
That particular grant that you're becoming is basically to demo.
No, it's renovation.
To bring it to what?
Whatever the community feels is appropriate.
Okay, so it wouldn't go be. That's another phase.
No, the scope of the project is to,
bring it to something that's usable.
Bring it to something that's usable. The grant the NOFA, which is the Notice of Funding Availability that HCD issued, says it's for reconstruction and construction. It could be for development of a new site.
Okay.
For us, what we determined to be the most competitive and meet all the right criteria, I mean, it's not a competitive grant, but to make sure that was the best fit. That's probably a better way to put it. Luke Trimble, because for a variety of reasons, its size, need, what it would serve, was the right place to, it met the most criteria. It was the best fit against the funding source. Other places would not have fit at all. Like the sports park would not have been a good fit for that funding for a variety of reasons, which I can go into if you really want to know, but it would not have been a competitive, and would actually, because of the funding criteria, the city would have actually lost funding available to it, mm-hmm. because of that particular park, because of population, size, different things, different criteria that the state uses. So that was really about it. I think that's, I can't think of anything else.
No, the splash pad, that's just an idea? Or is it?
Well, that's what we we'd like to put a water feature back.
Okay.
Because you have the museum there, I mean, the little memorial there.
Right. The splash pad, we think a water feature, because would be appropriate to put back.
Okay.
I think as it was discussed at the council, the actual design of the water feature would be something that would be left to Parks and Rec and the Park and Rec Commission, and they can go do all that stuff. We just know that conceptually that's what we'd like there. We did some cost estimates to make sure that the funding would be
back to minimal use again.
So.
With the splash, 3 months a year.
Yeah. Well,
all
right.
So.
Thank you.
That concludes my report.
That was a short report. Thank you.
There you go. I'm working on it.
I'm being
learning.
Sarcastic. All right. So thank you, Kevin, for that. Future agenda items, we're scheduled to be back here on the 18th.
There's actually a change there.
Sure, please.
We're planning to postpone the work implementation plan, so that item and the housing, the other annual report for 2015. So we're planning to propose to present that on March 3rd instead
March
of
3rd?
18th, the 18th, yeah.
So our next meeting, scheduled meeting, should be a
March.
Regular scheduled meeting, which would be March 3rd.
Correct, yeah. So at this time, there's nothing on the 18th.
So we get a two-week break. Okay, mm-hmm. Awesome. All right.
What will we do on
this? Yeah, what are we going to do? All right, guys.
We'll just let us know. We'll be more than happy to unlock the doors. No. You're more welcome to come hang out, you know.
Only if you buy dinner.
Well, maybe Dawn, you know, you're sitting
here for
you. Dawn, Pete, maybe you can work a deal down there, huh?
All right, I'm going to go ahead and adjourn this meeting.